This is tape two, side four, interviewing Gene Dickman, Marcy Schwartz, and Gene Gershon. And the date today is May 4th, 2000.
You were asking about the ages of them, and as I recall, they were there until they were 18 when they were emancipated from...
Did you have any contact afterwards to find out?
No.
No, no reunions?
I don't know if others did, but I didn't.
Okay. So there was never any follow-up to find out what happened?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. And you chair council care?
Yes. That was another program that... That was a very interesting project, and to my knowledge, it's one of the last of the really creative programs that NCJW initiated. Everything else we're doing, it seems as though we were collaborating, and we are doing things that other agencies can do. That may just be my take on it, but council care served a real need. I mean, it was one of the early daycare programs for they were mentally impaired, but they were memory impaired is what I was trying to say, not mentally impaired. And some slight physical impairment, you know, they could have been in walkers or wheelchairs, but they were all seniors, of course, and we were able to provide a place for them during the day while their families either got respite or worked.
Did you volunteer there as a chair also?
No. I was there, but I didn't do a direct service, no.
When you say you were there, were you...
I mean, I was there to talk to the director. We hired a director. We had staff there.
And when did council care start? Do you remember what year it started?
It was probably I think they just celebrated their 25th anniversary. What would that be? What year?
Well, no, we have 1986-90 as chair, but it doesn't matter.
I wasn't the first chair, no.
So.
But I was among the first chairs, because Linda Orr was still the director, and she stayed for maybe 4 or 6 years, I don't know. And then she had her husband moved, and she moved with him. So we lost her, but she was excellent. I thought it was during Liz Feingold's tenure, and that would have been around 82, 84, yeah. What did?
It says that you were chair in 86.
Okay, so it probably was a couple years
before then.
Janet, her name is, okay, I'll think of it. I know her well. Alan. Wow. I'm having a hard time.
I can't remember.
It's late in the day.
Stephen, is there anything else that you would like to add in terms of your volunteer career or anything that we've overlooked?
Not really. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. As I say, I got to meet wonderful people, and I'm still friends with them, and that was very nice. I'm sorry I don't know the younger people as well, because I think they have a lot. They're giving a lot, too. I'm especially impressed with Lynn Jacobs, our new Jacobson, our new president. I think she'll be terrific. I had worked with her, and she was very helpful. So, I don't have any more to add.
Then can we take a trip into your personal life again, or to your family life?
Sure.
Could you tell us how your family, how you raised your daughters differently than how you were raised?
I was raised.
And what activities did you as a family here participate in?
Well, we had Bob's family mm-hmm. here, and Bob has a very small family. He had his parents and a sister, and that was all. His sister had a husband and two children.
And their names are?
Bob's sister's name was Louise, and her husband's name was Ben. She was later divorced and married for a very short time again, and he died, and then she didn't marry anymore. But her son was Michael, is Michael Markovsky. And Joanne, her name is Gessner now, G-E-S-N-E-R. Michael was very successful in cable TV. He had worked with Warner Cable when it first started in Pittsburgh. And then he went on to California. He got involved in some more cable stuff, and then he had some reversals, and we think he's on the way up again because he's very bright and he'll make it, he'll be fine. And Joanne, I think Joanne suffered a bit in the marriage. The marriage was not wonderful, the mother's marriage. And they were subsequently divorced. And she found solace in transcendental meditation. In fact, now she's living in Fairfield, Iowa, which is the home of the, what do they call it?
The guru?
Well, the guru isn't there, but there's a school, you know, where they have all kinds of classes in transcendental meditation. And she taught for a while, and I guess she still does on occasion. But her career now, and she was married also, lived in out west, and that marriage didn't last too long either. And she came to, she lived around Washington, and she bounced around a bit. And now she's in Iowa, and she's doing work on the computer. She's very computer literate and does a lot of design work on it. She's artistic. And she seems to have found herself there. Seems happy.
Did your children go to camp? Or?
Yes. Jerry went to horse camp.
So Jerry, she's had a love for
Yeah. She took lessons from Milt Selznick. He had a... Mm-hmm. No, I think when she took, he was out in Allison Park. And she took for a few years. Kathy was not interested in horses, nor was Jody. But Jerry was. And Terry was a very good student. Kathy, and then Terry, when she went to American University for a year, that was in the 60s, she finally got out of her gray, you know, her gray skirts and gray sweaters. She was always very square, and she became a rebel. And brought home some very unsavory kids. But she grew out of it. And, you know, I think kids grow out of these things in spite of us. And she's a love, she really is. And Kathy was 2 years behind her, and I think not quite as rebellious. In fact, she wasn't really a rebel at all. She was pretty, pretty conservative. And they all went to Alderdice. None of them had any special outside interests. Jody was always interested in photography, and that's our youngest. And she went to Rochester Institute of Technology to learn photography, and she did very nicely with it. All these pictures are hers. Mm-hmm. So, and now she's working in the business that her father worked in, and doesn't use her photography at all, other than, you know, as a vocation. So,
did you take family vacations?
A few, not terribly many. Bob was a workaholic and was out of town a good bit. He traveled himself. But he always came home. You know, he didn't stay overnight too much. He would try to get home the same night as long as he could. We did go to California when Terry was 16, and we figured that would be the last time she'd want to travel with us. And we had a great time. I also had family in California. One of my brothers and his wife and two boys lived out there. So we got to see them. And we did the national parks and Disney World or whatever they call it now. And we had a great time. And they're wonderful travelers. We've since taken a number of family vacations since they've been grown. We've had great times. We have a Thanksgiving that we started when we bought a place up at Nemacolin. And we have my two nephews who come with their families. And we have extended family, our neighbors who we first met when we lived on Denniston and then moved to Hastings. And so we have them and their families and their families. There's three generations who come. And it's wonderful. We have a great, great time. We have about 50-some people for Thanksgiving, although I think we've ended it this year. It went on for about 14 years. And it, you know, what started as an overnight became a two-night thing and a three-day thing.
They're all 50.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Will the girl still come home, though?
Yes, they come home at least once a year. And we go out there once a year, or we take a trip once a year with them. But we do, you know, at least two or three times a year we see each other.
Okay, well, I really don't have many more questions to ask. Jean, do you have anything that you'd like to ask?
May I see that outline? Did we go through all the dates here? Could you tell us some of the problems you ran into
raising the girls, or not?
The girls, no, with NCJW, everybody has problems raising kids. I think
you're right. Problems.
Difficulties that you overcame, or things that happened that weren't much in the public eye.
No, as a matter of fact, I really was amazed at how little pettiness there was among the women in NCJW. I didn't run into any of that. And I don't think I've ever heard any of the women of my generation talk about it either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, usually there are personality conflicts, but I don't recall any serious ones. They were a very cooperative group, and not a nobody had to be in the limelight. It was just a very good group. They all had the broad picture, and the goal was ahead of them. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that anybody felt as though they were the most important in the group or anything. I was very impressed by that. As we started to add more staff, I think my expectations grew, and I didn't see the effect of this additional staff. I mean, I don't see us growing. Our membership has declined. I think it's starting to grow back up again, but we were at about 2,200, and I heard last night that we're about 1,800 now. So, and I remember we were at 1,600 at one point. So I don't know when all this happened. We have two women in the office. Ruth, I think, has been a positive. Ruth Garfinkel has mm-hmm. been a very positive influence on the organization. Sandy Spear, I like, but I can't see where she's brought in all that many volunteers. But you know, I'm not really there all the time, and I could be unfair. But I also see there's the volunteer connection downstairs in the building. They rent an office, and I thought it was UJF that sponsored them, and I'm not sure who it is now, whether they are the sponsors of this Jewish volunteer connection. And it seems to me that they're doing the same thing, Sandy Spear and Sharon Rubin.
You feel they're duplicating?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I do. Okay. I don't know why Sharon couldn't do what Sandy's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry.
You know, it's always like you think you're done and then you can think of other
stuff.
Mm-hmm.
How, you touched on a little bit, how else do you see the differences in the Pittsburgh Jewish community between 25 and 30 years ago and today?
I think I'm not really able to judge anymore. I'm not that active in the community. I read what's going on in the Chronicle, but I don't take an active role in it as I did. You know, when you're president of the organization, you're a delegate to everything. You just automatically are. And so you know what's going on. But I don't know. I don't see a heck of a lot of new things springing up. Certainly the community day school has had a visible presence and has taken a lot of kids from public school. And I honestly don't know whether it's because the public schools have declined. I don't think it's because we've become more Jewish conscious. I think it's more that the schools have declined.
You don't see it as a religious factor?
I don't think so.
Day schools?
No, but I could be wrong.
And how do you view, this may be repetitive, how do you view Pittsburgh, the Jewish community, as part of the whole community?
I think it's very, I think it's given a lot to the whole community. I think it continues to contribute. I see Jewish names in almost everything. They seem to be very generous in the community, certainly in the cultural arts. They're very active. Of course, religiously, you know, in the synagogues they are, but I'm impressed that they take such an active role in the cultural arts. I don't know. I just think that we're very visible in a real good way, in a real constructive way.
For all your accomplishments, what do you feel was the most significant?
I think my group of friends. I really have a very large group of friends and a very strong group of friends, and I feel very comfortable with them, and if I would ever need them, they're there.
Is there anything you would do differently?
Probably in my child rearing, I would do things differently, yeah. I think I would be, I was a very laissez-faire kind of a parent, and I, because that's how I was raised too, and I never strayed. And not that they strayed either, but I think I would be more encouraging for them to do and try new things, and in that respect, provide more opportunities or encourage them to take advantage of more opportunities.
Again, I thank you. Jane, yeah. You have some questions?
Council care is one of the projects that still goes on,
mm-hmm.
and has expanded.
Right.
Is that program on its own, or is there NCJW?
To my knowledge, it's on its own, and certainly for the most part, it's on its own. If there's any contribution that NCJW gives, it's pretty slight at this point. I know when JAA took it over, Jewish Association on Aging, took it over. We had a 3-year commitment to it, and we were to give funds. Whether we've continued or not, I really don't remember or don't know.
I get the impression that part of the function of NCJW is to initiate programs in the community.
And spin them off, you're right.
And then spin them off.
Mm-hmm.
Could you say something about that?
Oral history doesn't get spun off.
for obvious reasons, for the driving force.
Well, Marcia has been the driving force.
Yes.
But I'm not sure who else would take it over at this point. I guess the only other one would be the Jewish Archives or the Jewish History Center, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly they don't have a cadre of volunteers to draw upon. They have one director who is one archivist who's terribly overworked at the moment. And thanks to Richard Rao, you know, she's there.
Mm-hmm.
It would be nice if NCJW, matter of fact, we were talking to someone today about taking over oral history, and she has so many other things in the fire, but she would have been a real fireball too. But it does need young blood at this time. The other thing about oral history is that there's so many different products that it has spawned, and it could take a totally new direction. And the other nice thing about NCJW is that all we need is an idea and somebody who wants to go forward with it. And there isn't a lot of what am I trying to say? You know, it doesn't have to go through, there isn't a lot of bureaucracy that it has to go through to get approved.
Mm-hmm.
If it's worthwhile, it'll be recognized by the board and it can begin.
I got the impression when you spoke about the younger members now,
mm-hmm.
that they are sharper. In your estimation, is it that they're smarter anyway, or have the time?
I just think they have a lot of self-esteem, they're not afraid to tackle anything. They don't, think that the older members know everything as I did when I came in.
Mm-hmm.
We were really in awe of all these past presidents, and it was intimidating.
Do you have any idea
why
all of this occurred? Why there seems to be in your opinion, a divergence between the attitudes?
Perhaps the women's movement, where women are feeling their own, you know, their oats or whatever. They just feel competent. They're not. They've been given encouragement, obviously. They've gone to school. They've done well. They've achieved. And they're perfectly willing to lead,
mm-hmm.
as they should.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk about organizational work and you say that there's been a difference in numbers or the leaders maybe are more confident,
mm-hmm.
But what do you see in terms of the volunteer movement as a whole? There are more people out there working.
Mm-hmm.
How do you see mm-hmm. that it affects?
Well, I think it seems to me that there needs to be, and I know I've read about organizations that have these volunteers for the day, you know, where you can volunteer for a day and feel like you're contributing to the community. I will say that NCJW projects, for the most part, they go on and on and on. We don't have a time limit on how long you're going to do something. You start to do something and you are given more to do and more to do. And that's fine if you have the time. But these young women don't have the time. Some of them do. Some of them are not working. You know, they're still stay-at-home moms and have time. But I don't see them, I don't know, they seem to be very reliant upon staff, and we weren't, but then we didn't have the staff, so I don't know.
I agree with you that there are certainly a lot of stay-at-home moms, but
mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering if the volunteer pool
is dwindled.
Not just the numbers, numbers don't always say.
No. No, I think there probably are the volunteers out there, and I do think that women my age and even younger are probably not being asked to do things that they are capable of doing. I venture to say if we could pique their interest, they would volunteer. I don't think they just have to stay home, or I don't even think they're staying home. They're doing, you know what it is? They're busy with their grandchildren, and I don't have that. So I was able to volunteer for a longer period of time. They're busy playing tennis, as they should, playing golf. You know, I mean, they're doing a lot of travel. They have a lot more leisure opportunities now.
That's the end of the tape.
Good.
Yeah.